listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 7 of the show, and it's a big Le Fela Podrick, son of Dwitch, to everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And we're brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And we're also brought to you in association with Bar One Betting, our charity bet sponsors. More on that later on in the show. But Gary, happy St. Patrick's Day. How are you?
Very well. Good, man. All excited now for next week.
Can you give us the latest countdown to the exact minute and second for Prague, by any chance?
I wouldn't know about exact minutes and seconds. All I know is we're flying tomorrow week, and that's all I care about. So just getting to that threshold now is all I'm worried about.
9 days. Squad announcement coming Thursday.
Would you have Ditsy in the team?
Probably no harm, is it?
I think he'd be a great wild card to have. Ten minutes left in the game, you need someone to do something. The fella is absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
I think he scored again at the weekend. I know Troy is as well, but peg that fella up front. You know, he scored from 30 yards, scored from 20 yards. He's scoring from anywhere at the minute. So, why not?
Hamir was in Oriel Park Friday night, so maybe Darrell Horgan set for a recall. He was absolutely brilliant against Waterford the other night, so we might see a few Dundalk players in the squad, who knows.
But he probably thought he was transported to Chernobyl or something, was he? Poor old devil.
I think he was there to unveil the new handrail.
Big operation, big job on there.
To be fair, before I get absolutely hammered by the Dundalk fans, I was there again last night for the game against Sligo, and I have to say the place is looking an awful lot better. They've done well. So, right, let's get to a busy couple of days. We had games Friday, we had games Monday. So as we always do with these double headers on the pod, we'll go through the winners, the losers, and who came out just okay off the back of all of it. Just looking at my little list in front of me here, Gary. Dundalk are probably top of that winners list, I would have to say. 5-0 winners on Friday against Waterford. We'll get to Waterford and John Daly in a couple of minutes. We'll hear some audio from John Daly and Kieran Cadduff in a while as well. But great win Friday night, and then a very different type of win last night. Got to take in most of the game against Sligo last night after work, and they were second best for much of the contest. Soft penalty to win it. Obviously, the big story Friday was Connor Kearns. It looks like suspected dislocated knee. Obviously, something I know all about. An absolutely horrible injury to sustain. So we're hoping that he'll have a quick and speedy recovery. But it sounds like a fairly bad one he sustained. So Enda Minogue went back in last night after Peter Cherry came on Friday. And Enda hasn't played in a long, long time. Made a couple of mistakes in the first division last season, but geez, he made an absolutely unbelievable save last night. I think Kilduff said it was one of the best he's ever seen onto the crossbar. I think Sligo hit the crossbar twice in the game last night. So Sligo, I don't know how they came out on the wrong end of it in truth, but for Dundalk to grind out a win like that and off the back of a 5-0 win, a great couple of days for Killer.
100%, great couple of days for Dundalk as a whole. They did what was needed, beating the teams around them. Or what is expected to be the teams around them. I know they're flying high in fourth at the moment. But two wins on the bounce against teams that are going to be down towards the bottom half of the table is a really good return, particularly over a Friday-Monday weekend as well. Mm. I know they probably had the handier of fixtures compared to some other teams, but they still had to go and do it, still had to put the ball in the back of the net. Don't really know about that penalty. Mm. And also that massive no penalty for Sligo before that. So,
That one at the end of the game last night, I seen it happen in front of me, and it was after the Dundalk penalty. It was pretty much in stoppage time, I think, that one. There was a couple of half-hearted appeals, but there was nobody, I don't think really anyone sensed what had happened. He's definitely left the boot in there with the follow-through.
Oh no, it was a penalty. Was a penalty. There's no question about it. A terrible call from the ref, especially after making, that penalty on Kenny. For Kenny, wasn't really a penalty either.
In live time, I thought it was incredibly soft. I watched it back very quickly in the stand at Oriel, and at first glance, I thought, I can probably half see where the referee's given it and then having the benefit of looking at it several times, different angles, different speeds today, I don't think that was a penalty at all.
Yeah, desperate decision. So disappointing for Sligo. You know, two losses on the bounce, especially after a good win at home to Drogheda last weekend. It's just not ideal that they couldn't back it up. Like, whatever about Rovers, Shamrock Rovers doing the job with them, that's one thing. But to lose out to a soft penalty like that is not ideal.
Look, they actually played really well last night, Sligo Rovers. But
you were saying that like you couldn't really believe that they dropped points.
The lack of a striker is absolutely killing them. I'm sorry, Keane Cavett is just not going to cut the mustard at this level. Sligo have always had a great knack at getting players in from abroad. Now, I know we've often joked about them signing half the Estonian league a few years back, but
is that not Buzz?
I think Sligo, that was the Sligo model for us, wasn't it?
They had a good go at it as well, yeah. A
couple of internationals. We used to say every lad that comes to the league from Estonia seems to be an international, but it's surprising they haven't been able to get a free agent in there of some description, because what they have at the moment up front is just not going to do it for them. What a game it was last night, the live TV game. So often it can be a letdown, the live game, but last night they definitely got a right picking. Galway against Waterford, not a game you would have expected to give us seven goals. But for Galway, this came off the back of a good showing against Bowes on Friday night. They came out on the wrong side, lost 1-0, but played well and could have got something out of the game to get the win last night. So I would class that as been a good couple of days for Galway.
Yeah, the goal on Friday came out in the last few minutes of the game. Patrick Hickey, ex-Galway man, bit of a kick in the bollocks.
Bobby Byrne scored against them a couple of games ago for Dundalk as well. So I suppose it was always going to happen with the amount of players that left Galway that they were going to pop back.
It's a regular occurrence in the merry-go-round of League of Ireland. Players hopping and jumping all over the place. But really good result for Bowes. Was a low scoring game. I think we said in last week's pod that it would be low scoring and it was only goal the difference, which is great for Bowes. Another win on the board,
another clean sheet as well, keeping quite a few clean sheets of late, so that's the big positive for Bowes, who are obviously on this winners list as well. I know they didn't get 6 points over the last few days. They had the draw against Shells, which we'll get to in a second.
When was the last time I think the 3-2 against Rovers was the last time they conceded. Like, they've only conceded two goals all year, and it was that game.
I think you're right. I'm just going to get the league table up in front of me.
I am right.
it's incredible.
Great stuff from Bowes at the back. Like, if you think back at last year, the amount of stupid goals they conceded, some real crackers as well. But, like, all of that seems to have been nullified. Owen Elding's goal, your man that went to Cambodia, the lad for Galway.
Moses Dyer.
Some absolute crackers that were scored against them last year, but they've really shown it up at the back. I suppose a lot of it has to be, looked at Patrick Hickey coming into the defence there.
Sam Todd.
And Sam Todd as well, who I think he was the lad that scored against Waterford as well. So, like, their defence has really come into their own. And then when, maybe someone like Colin Whelan isn't shooting, you can throw Patrick Hickey up front. After all the licenses and training and coaching, get the big lad up front is still a well-worn and well-understood move, and that paid off for them on Friday. So, yeah, real positive weekend for Bowes, has to be said. But I know we were talking about Galway. Decent result last night. As you mentioned, the good shooting for Virgin Media as well, picking that game out of a lot of shit that was on last night.
Yeah. Goes to show that, because even someone texted me yesterday, someone texted me Friday looking for, they were in one of the Bar One shops, they said, throw us a few tips here for League of Ireland, and one team let me down, I think it was Wexford. Right. So they texted me again last night. They said, we'll go again, give me the Monday. And I actually texted them back and I said, nope, stay away. Monday is too volatile. You often see this, don't we, where you get, like, Dundalk playing unbelievable Friday, win 5-0, and then probably definitely shouldn't have won the game last night against Sligo. There is always that fluctuation between Friday, Monday with rotation and the like. So you can get some surprise results.
Yeah, I understand that. Like, people crying about, Like the team, or like the league, is fully professional. Like I know it's like 2 days, it isn't exactly a magic a turnaround that people would be looking for. But like, I don't really know what you want. Like, you have fewer games. Like I know it's only 36 games, but like, and we don't have cups, and like, still trying to fit in Europe and the single cup that we have. Like, just let it alone. Like shit happens. Like we had a couple of nil-nil or a few nil-nils last night. It's not the end of the world. Calm down.
One of those nil-nils last night was Shelburne against Bowes. Again, a good few days for Shells. They went to Derry and won. I'm sure we'll be talking about Derry. I know you were at the game in Richmond last night, so we'll talk about them shortly. But one in Derry on Friday, and then a point last night at home to Bowes. But all the headlines was the pre-match antics. What did you make of everything that went on at Talca Park last night?
I thought it was absolutely fine. Bit of rustling,
yeah,
from Bowes, which you wouldn't see very often at all from Bowes. You know, I'm surely expecting a statement coming out from the Bowes board here about this disgraceful carry on from their own team, but like that's the type of stuff you want. You know, you want that type of rustling. You want that G'ing up.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to overstep the mark at any stage. I think there was a coming together between Rennie and someone on the Shells backroom staff, or just wonder if there might be ramifications from that. It looked like Rennie had a good old grab of him by the throat and your man has swung a bit of a dig back. So I don't know whether that'll carry any possible ramifications. But aside from that, as you said, I didn't mind. It reminded me of Dublin Mayo that time where Mayo went and stole the hill in the warm-up, and there was a bit of and even you think that your favourite sport, the Triple Crown winners, by the way, congrats to Ireland. the rugby all them years ago, didn't England take Ireland's side where they were supposed to line up for an anthem and wouldn't move, I think. The reason I'm just mentioning all this, at the minute, everyone's talking about this bullshit that's going on in the Premier League with Chelsea guarding the centre circle and the ref getting stuck in the middle of it the other day. Like, I actually thought
that was a video from Cork City on Friday night.
What do you mean by that?
The ref was dog shit on Friday in that Cork game. Jesus Christ. Absolute travesty of a performance.
Right, we'll get to that later. But this crap of the Chelsea guarding the centre circle, I can't understand how another team hasn't gone in and broken that up just to antagonize them. Like, it just modern football, I'm telling you, I just don't like it. But yeah, I didn't mind seeing that bit of bite before the game, bit of edge, it carried a bit of atmosphere around the ground as well. Once it doesn't overstep the mark, you're happy enough. But no, I think good couple of days for both Shells and Bowes. And the other team I think that had a good few days, and you can tell us more about their game last night, was St. Pat's. They absolutely hammered Drogheda on Friday, and then they picked up a point against Derry last night. So tell us about your trip to Richmond.
Yeah, probably don't really often regret going to games. This isn't one of those times I was getting close to it. Pats probably were the ones trying to win the game. I thought Palmer was very good. I thought Darren Nugent was excellent. Really covered a lot of ground. Kind of just disappointed that they didn't probably have enough clear-cut chances. Some really nice bits of play. Like, there was a lot of carelessness. Like, there was a lot of like turnover possession. You know, like schoolboy stuff. Like, I have it, then you have it, then he has it, and then it's back to me, and it's all over the place to an extent. But I thought Pat probably dropped 2 points. They could have made a bit better hay out of the chance about their play in the final third. And then again, there's a couple of chances that Derry could have scored from, but I didn't think that they would really deserve much out of the game, to be quite honest. There was a very funny bit where a poor bit of play, I think it was from Redmond, misplaced a pass and he kind of slipped as he was doing it. So he was out with the game. The ball was chipped over and Josh Thomas ran onto it. And he just steamrolled Sean Hoare like as if he was like, you know, a 2-year-old toddler in front of him. And everybody going crazy. It wasn't the colour of a free kick now, to be honest. But his shot was straight at an angle in the goal. You know, he didn't even work him. So like there was a lot of that type of stuff that was missing from the game. Of course, the funniest bit was 12 players on the pitch.
Yeah, what happened there?
I was thinking about it there last night, and I seen a clip of someone screen recorded LOI TV, and I was kind of looking at it. Basically, Markey didn't go off when he was called off, but in Pats, they seem to be using this like ancient scoreboard thing where, you know, like we'll say most clubs have who's coming on and who's coming off the number. They only have who's coming on and who's coming off one after the other. It's not on the same board. The line forward official has to change the number. So that obviously delays the whole thing. Like that, like, you know, that should be an instant fine there. That you have a piece of technology from, you know, the 1990s still in place. Should be long gone. I think I can't see it, but I bet a pint on now, my first pint in Prague now next Wednesday, that it still has Aircom League logos on it. That's how old it is. Anyway, so that like really delayed, like the subs took ages, like absolutely ages. And then Markey didn't go off, referees play on, 12 players on the pitch. And like, I'm not blessed with height, but so I stood up on my tippy toes and I started counting the players. And as I was doing that, Palmer was doing the same. Right? He was like, you know, you could see him pointing out each lad and like turning around in a circle as he's trying to count them all. It's like, this is pathetic. It is, I do want to say, I know Rob Harvey is getting pelters on and rightly so. Like he's the CEO of the ref and operation on the night. But the Ford official is, you know, has to be taken out the back for this. Like he watches the players come off by him. You know what I mean? He's seen three players come on and two lads come off, and he would have, okay, yeah, I'm finished my business. Play on, Rob. So I wouldn't necessarily, like, obviously it's the buck stops with Harvey, but like, Ford official really has to hold his hand up here. You know, should be demoted to the AUL or something like that for a few weeks after that debacle. But it really, like, it makes a bollocks of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's pathetic looking. One other thing, I thought James McLean was shite, absolute shite. You know,
well, it's interesting you should say that, because I was watching back a good chunk of Derry Shells earlier on today, and I just have in my notes here 62-40. McLean example is what I wrote down. He takes three or four touches, just like he did in his own box against Rovers, that thing I mentioned last week or the week before where he almost gave up a goal. Three or four touches in the midfield, gets robbed blind by Shells, and Lundgren gets a shot away and the keeper saves it. So he almost gave away a goal there. And then, having not learned from that lesson, the 94th minute and 34 seconds, right at the death, he's pricking around with the ball in midfield, again loses it. I think he actually gives away a misplaced pass, and Freitas got a shot away, and again had to be saved by the keeper. So he is making the same mistakes over and over. I couldn't believe, to be honest, last night that he was starting again and playing a full 90 again, having played a full 90 Friday. We thought this Friday, Monday would be the first time we might see him rotated out of the team, but you've seen him with your own two eyes last night, so sorry to cut across you. You can get back to your point there, but this wasn't an isolated performance from James McLean, I don't think, last night.
No, like, he just really offered nothing. He reminded me, I don't even know who he reminded me of. Like, you're nearly watching, trying to keep an eye on him because, you know, you're expecting something to happen, or you're expecting him to unlock a defence or do something. The only defence he unlocked was really his own, I think. It was his back pass that created that McLean Palmer penalty incident, which will come on to in a minute. But like, it's really, you know, I'd be fairly critical of, say, Jack Byrne. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the little hop and run that he does, and, you know, just not really offering enough. You know, we'll say he's great. He's great for the YouTube highlight.
He started the season well, Jack Byrne. But anyway, go on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can have a good set of five or six games. Do you know what I mean? Like, put me in that Shamrock Rovers midfield and probably do all right. So, like, you know, that that's not what we're looking for here. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's really crisp passing all the way back to the keeper, passing back to McLean, pass back to the other defender, out to Fleming or whoever. It's not forward thinking. It's not creating anything. You know, creativity is just not there. And I don't know if he's been, you know, coached into the ground about not doing stuff like that. I don't really know.
It just looks totally out. He just looks like a fish out of water in that central midfield role.
Yeah, he really does. And like, I think he's nearly like watching videos of other lads on how to do it. He's like, oh yeah, like, but your lad, it's not happening now. So yeah, just a disappointing performance. But I really thought Pat should have won the game. Should have done better with some of their chances. I really liked, as I mentioned, I thought Nugent was very good. Thought Palmer was very good. I was also quite happy with Mata when he came on. Ball hold up play and stuff like that, and laying off and stuff, I thought was really good. So, you know, a player that I wouldn't have been absolutely mad about down through the years in the League of Ireland. But yeah, I thought he looked sharp last night.
Yeah, so the Dundalk, Galway, Bow, Shells, Pats, all on our winners list. Losers, Derry are top of that list alongside Waterford. As I said, I will play some audio with John Daly from that defeat at Oriel on Friday night shortly. But I suppose just to finish off on Derry there, Gary, lots of comments now online about the manager. Do you see him weathering this storm?
I don't really see much like they've had such a basic start to the season, 9 goals, 9 conceded. I to be honest, I don't really see much of a heave going to be going on. You know, I think I said it before a few weeks ago, you know, when we get to late April, early May, and you're looking into the, you know, you're looking at Ireland going to the World Cup, please God, and you're looking into the break and all of that stuff, you know, that's really when you start to assess stuff. Like, there's been a lot of like talk about, oh, you know, you give it time, you give it this, you know, players that gel and all this other pony. Like, for what? Halfway through March now. So most of these teams have been together since, you know, the first week of January, pre-season and playing games and friendlies and all that, all sorts of shit. Like, you know, you're not going to say, oh, you know, give John Daly another 10 games. You know what I mean? Like, you're no one saying that. So, like, just because we do expect more from Derry, considering the players that they have, and, you know, that the fact that they've been at it for a couple of years at this, well, Tiernan Lynch is what? They're about 15, 16 months at this point?
Yeah.
Ballpark, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when are you going to do it?
I mean, he's got a lot of problems to sort out. I mean, like the winner for Shelburne on Friday was hilariously bad. Now Fleming, who I'm a fan of and started the season well, I thought, can't get the ball clear to the back post, and Daniel Kelly tucks it home. But it was just an awful, awful goal to give away. And then going forward, as you said, they're just not creating anything. And again, it's relying on Michael Duffy to pull a bit of magic out of his arse. So
where is James McLean to pull some magic out of his arse?
He shouldn't be in the team, as far as I can see at this minute in time.
He shouldn't be, and you know, I said it on last week's podcast, you know, he needs a muscle strain for the game against Shells, and you know, but he ended up playing 180 minutes. And to be honest with you, like, I think I said it to you, like, he's like a 5 out of 10 every game. Yeah, you're gonna win nothing doing that, fucking nothing. You know, especially a player that, you know, is coming across as almost undroppable. So
I suppose just on Lynch, like, we would have spoke quite negatively about Stephen Kenny at the start of the season, first 2 games and the carryover from last year. We were like, oh, we don't see this Pats team doing much. And all of a sudden, with like Zamata and Keane coming back in, they look a different team and they've gone on a bit of a winning streak. But so Lynch could turn it around. If you can get a win or two under the belt, they could go on a run. But at this moment in time, I don't see it. The other under pressure manager in the league is undoubtedly John Daly. Suppose I was at the game Friday, so I'll talk about it a bit more, but we have been getting tweets from match day one this season from Waterford fans, and we maybe accused them once or twice of being a bit trigger happy. given, you know, that they were quite quick to get on the back of Keith Long last season as well. Mm-hmm. But I can see, I'm actually surprised that we haven't had double the amount of tweets, to be honest, after watching them Friday. We've had a lot of comments about the style of football, the directness of Waterford. They make Caulfield's Galway look like prime Barcelona. Like literally there is no plan other than the goalkeeper. What they do, and something you don't see too often, even if you're watching a game on the telly, for a goal kick, the two strikers, they stand way beyond anyone else. Now, obviously you can't be offside from a goal kick, but they stand way beyond the last defender. And the plan is literally just lump it as far as you can up to one of the two and hope to get a flick on and try and get in behind. And that is all they have in terms of their attacking threat. And defensively, they have no shape, but they are wide open. Daryl Horgan had the run of the pitch Friday night. Dundalk were very good, but I think pretty much any team in the Premier Division would have taken them to the cleaners on Friday. It was the most disorganized, disjointed, pathetic performance I've seen in a long, long time from a Premier Division team.
And obviously last night we didn't see, well, we saw a bit for Turner, and they've signed Keith Long.
Yeah, right? Kevin Long,
excuse me, not Keith Long.
he could be
signed by the end of the week. Who knows what happens? Sorry about that.
Kevin Long, yeah, he was last with Toronto in the MLS. He hasn't had a club since he left them in October, I think. So he's 35-ish. Like, we've seen the likes of Damien Delaney come back to the league. Damien Duff even didn't have much of an impact when he came back. Look at James McLean at the moment, a lad that was playing regularly up until coming home to Derry. I'm not sure that's going to change a whole pile. They tried this approach last season, trying to bring in an experienced defender to shore things up. That was Andy Boyle, and we know that didn't really work out either. You said there was signs of things turning last night, but again, defensively, some of the goals they gave away last night were absolutely shocking.
Yeah, it's not hard to know. It's just like, is Derry on borrowed time?
Yeah, I was surprised. Even with the game in mind Monday, I was surprised that something didn't happen over the weekend, to be honest. That's how poor the performance was Friday night.
Do you think it's a bit of a, let's say, vote of confidence in a way that they've signed Long?
I was thinking about that. From what I understand, that deal was in the pipework for a few weeks. So right. I wouldn't view it that way, that necessarily vote of confidence. He has to be under massive pressure. Other teams that had a bad couple of days, Drogheda. I know, decent result last night against Shamrock Rovers, a game where very little happened in truth, but they were hammered. The wheels came off so quickly on Friday. It was very un-Drogheda like. Drogheda took the lead. I thought Anang was a bit suspect for that opening goal. His position was a bit strange. He didn't get much help from the players in front of him. It was like Pat's just disappeared into thin air, and Alua was in and managed to tuck it away. And then at 1-1, they get a penalty on 60 minutes, Drogheda, and it's an awful penalty from Mark Doyle against his former club. And just 3 or 4 minutes later, Conor Keeley gives away a really silly handball. Keane absolutely bashes the ball into the net. That's how you take a penalty. And then good to see Levy continuing his good run of form with a goal, and then they get another one late on as well. But the wheels just came off very, very quickly for Drogheda. And as I said, that's not what we're used to seeing from them.
Is that a major concern, do you think? I know they kind of rectified that already with a good result against
Rovers last night.
But like, it's really, would you call it uncharacteristic, really, of...
I would, yeah. I obviously kind of highlighted it or flagged it last week. You'd wonder just all the off-field stuff there. Now, it seems to have quietened down. I don't know when I'm going to get over to Drogheda next. It'd be good to get an update on what is going on there behind the scenes, whether there is anything going on or whether all has been forgotten about. But you just wonder, Kevin Doherty admitted himself before that Dundalk game, how big of a toll it had taken on him and the players. You just wonder if there's a bit of a hangover from that still going on, because they've looked very out of sorts in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think it's something that he'll be able to rectify, Kevin Doherty, like he's done it before.
But he was very, very frustrated in his post-match interview now on Friday. He was a fairly, fairly disappointed man. So,
Have they taken, how many hammerings like that have they taken? like recently.
Not many.
Not too often. So like, you know, it's okay to be, yeah, we don't do this quite very often, but like it still hurts when we do it. So, you know, that wouldn't be, oh my God, he's in an awful way or anything like that. I think it's just frustrating because, you know, when you kind of let it in to that extent, and as you mentioned, the way they kind of totally broke down, considering that number of goals. So, yeah, I suppose it's a fair enough response.
No win in their last five, and they're onto a minus goal difference now of minus two. Nine goals conceded in seven games. Are you still totally against the idea that they could get dragged into things as the season goes on?
I'm not totally against it. Like, unfortunately, I think they'll be out of the three or four that we're thinking of. But like, you know, let's say who's going to be the bottom half? Dundalk, Drogheda, Galway, Sligo, and Waterford. Yeah. Just half the league, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
oh well, it's going to be a ferocious scrap. It is going to be a top five and a bottom five. I know Dundalk are up in fourth at the minute, and Dundalk fans had argued they could be higher as well because, of course, they conceded a couple of late goals, didn't they, in some of their earlier games? They up in Derry, they conceded a late one, and I think the next game as well.
If my auntie had stones, she'd be my uncle. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't give a shit about what could have happened. So,
but look, they're the newly promoted team and they're sitting fourth after seven games. So I think that goes to show the strength of the bottom half of the division this season. So I think it will be ferocious.
It will be a tight one. No doubt about it.
Look, we've mentioned Sligo. They played well last night, but they came up on the wrong side. They were beaten Friday. So two losses from two. They're obviously on the losers list there. Had to throw someone into the just okay list just to make it up. Shamrock Rovers, good win Friday. They'd be probably disappointed not to have won in Drogheda last night. I was surprised actually to note before the game, I would have thought that Rovers had struggled in Drogheda over the last couple of years, but they had actually won their last four or five trips there, having gone on a bit of a patchy run of form away to Drogheda in the years previous. So yeah, they'll be probably disappointed they didn't win last night. But look, that's just a kind of an overall view on how things went over the Friday Monday.
What did you make of the, are you following the Tala watering situation?
I suppose it's got a bit more interesting than since we last spoke about it. So I think a couple of council workers have been suspended, talk of their phones getting looked at, pitch was overwatered. It's strange. Like, I don't think there's any suggestion that, you know, this was to benefit Shamrock Rovers. Like, it was obviously a negative to Shamrock Rovers because they lost a couple of thousand on the gate for the rearranged game against Dundalk. You just wonder, was it, what is the motive, or was it just sheer incompetence, or what? I don't know, but yeah, it's one of the stranger stories that have emerged from the league this season.
I think, like, you know, the week of flooding that was going on that week, like oh Jesus, yeah, better start, you know, unraveling these hoses now to get the sprinklers on the pitch. Like, you know, I don't really see that, but interesting one to see, you know, what way that shakes out. Definitely a strong step to suspend, you know, council workers. That seems serious enough. So we'll be watching closely.
We'll see. But yeah, look, as I said, I was at Orient Friday. I was there again last night. I didn't do any interviews last night because I only got there. I wasn't planning on going and ended up making time to get there in the end. So I had no equipment with me, unfortunately. But Friday I was there and I spoke to John Daly and to Kieran Kilduff. So we'll bring you a couple of minutes of the two chats here. For the full interviews, they are up on the Between the Stripes Members Club. You can join that now for all of our exclusive League of Ireland content throughout the season by going to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. But here's what John Daly and Kieran Kilduff had to say after Friday's game.
As you said, John, you kept them in there for a long time, the lads. What would you say the tone of the discussion was after the game?
Obviously frustration. As I said, I feel there's a good group there. I think there's good players in the changing room, and I think we've let ourselves down. We haven't actually, you know, shown a true account of ourselves, and that's the disappointing thing, and it's frustration, and it's trying to get them to understand that, like, the basics of football you have to do to earn the right to play and to then actually have the bravery to go and take the ball. And as I said, we didn't do any of that tonight. which is majorly frustrating.
I know plenty of new players have come in, but do you feel maybe there's a hangover from last season? The team did only survive by a playoff at the end of the day last year.
No, I don't think at all. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I think it's a new squad, it's a new team. It's on us to make sure we can push on and kick on. And we had an opportunity tonight, as I said, to move ourselves out of the position we don't want to be in. And we massively didn't take that. And we have an opportunity on Monday to go again. And you know, we need to make sure we're ready for the battle and ready for that fight. Because if we're not, you know, Galway, if we go down there and we try and play Galway like we did tonight, for me there'll only be one winner.
And just on Podge, are you concerned about his form? He didn't go six games last year without a goal. That's six games tonight, and I know recently he came off penalties. Is he suffering with a lack of confidence personally?
That's a question you have to ask him. I think I don't see it in him in terms of what I see day to day. But I do know from being a striker myself, sometimes you can have a dip in form in terms of in front of the goal. I think his energy, his work rate, everything he's kind of given to the team, he still does. I think in terms of the confidence side, you'd need to have that conversation with him. But looking at him in training every day, I just think he's probably not had the rub of the green. Obviously up in Derry, he had one that was going in that hits Tommy Lonergan on the line. He's obviously missed the pen against Sligo. So I think once Podge gets that first goal and gets himself up and running, I'm sure he'll be fine. And like with most strikers, once they do that, they tend to kick on.
I think people looked at your squad at the start of the year and they've seen Podge, Tommy and Conor Carty together. Has it actually been a challenge to try and accommodate them in the same team and get the best out of all three of them in the same side?
No, well, I think when you bring good strikers to the club, like obviously Tommy and Podge are here, we brought Conor in, and we've been playing in front two. The start of the season we played the two and we had Conor playing off them. But Conor for me he can play kind of across the front three if you're playing a three up, or he can play in part of a front two. But I think like most good squads in the league, you know, you have to have competition for places, and we're very lucky to have three talented strikers. It's just about finding the right partnership and the right pairing, and then obviously the other one then supplementing that from the bench.
Thanks, John. Cheers, John. Yeah, obviously you can hear it in your voice how upsetting it is for everyone. I suppose we have to talk about the football. 5-0 win, it was a fantastic performance. First win of the season. You couldn't have asked for much more, really.
No, look, we've had a really tough start, I suppose, on paper. And we've had, I think we've made a really good account of ourselves in most of the games. I thought we were unfortunate not to win a couple more of them. And tonight it probably all came together and we sustained it and we probably handled the key moments of the game. I think we knew getting a second goal was huge, but then especially after the long delay and the injury, the next goal was going to be huge. Obviously we've changed our keeper, we've literally been standing around for 15-20 minutes to get the third goal. The subs coming on having a real impact as well. Yeah, it's a really good night for us.
How pleasing is the clean sheet as well?
Huge, it's our first, and delight for Conor. And I said that to Peter when he was waiting to come on. It's can we just really graft and see it out, and the character and the testament to Peter as well stepping in. We've had a tough week in terms of the goal keeping department. Then they took a knock yesterday in training in the Minogue. Leo Sritter, who we signed, was obviously an issue with a bit of paperwork and international clearance hasn't really been able to come through. So to have Peter there waiting in the wings, there was a lot of scrambling done last night, and you know, when it rains it pours, we lose Conor then as well. But since I've come to the club, I've had nothing but backing from Peter. He's always stepped up for me and he's done it once against him.
And you restricted Waterford to very few chances. They did have a chance early on in the game. It was actually from a set piece. It was a free header and it was an easy save. That's obviously been a struggle early in the season. How hard have you been working to rectify that?
No, we have, and we're trying to take as much pride as we can, and we're probably getting punished at times. Like I think in the first half we had 9 or 10 corners and we didn't punish them, and we're that kind of team that might give away 2 or 3, and previously we would have given up a goal. And thankfully tonight the lads have bought in, and look, we're the newly promoted team. We've played 6 games, we've only been beaten once, and tonight just felt like, you know, I'm not saying a complete performance, but a lot of the stuff came together on a big stage.
We really hope you're enjoying this week's episode. feel free to show your support by leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. You can also support the show by buying us a virtual beer or coffee via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, where you can also join our members club for all the latest exclusive BTS content.
Right, onto the first division. There was no games on the Monday, but there were plenty full game of fixtures on the Friday. We'll talk about Longford's trip to Cork shortly, your first trip to Turner's Cross, but we'll start elsewhere. Wexford 1, Kerry 1. As I said, this was a result that let my tipping down. So Wexford 1, Kerry 1. What did you make of it?
Probably not the most surprising of results. I think we all went for a win for
Wexford,
I think, in the predictions. So yeah, but not really surprising either that Wexford weren't able to get it over the line. I thought the defending for Kerry's goal was really poor. I think Palmer had the ball in the midfield, played it out to the right, it was crossed in and buried from close range.
How many tackles were broken there for that goal?
Well, that's it. It wasn't. He was like walking through the player. He was just kind of standing there for a few seconds, and just you know, no one could really get through him. It was just really disappointing. Not good. Not good enough. I think Wexford will be disappointed with that. Mikey Rowe got the equaliser. Good to get him up and running for Wexford.
There was a touch of fortune about that. The build-up play was good. There was a good, I can't remember who it was, made a good sweep and pass into the area, and the lad Wynn goes to take a touch, and it's a real heavy touch and ends up being a good pass into Mikey Rowe, who tucked it away nicely. It was a little bit of fortune about how it arrived at Mikey Rowe's
goal. Yeah. But I suppose, you know, in around the 6-yard box, you know, shit is going to fall to you, so you might as well make it when you can. But yeah, a result that doesn't really do much for Wexford.
Three draws in a row for Wexford, still only the one win this season, and that was that very impressive opening day win against Cove. They've struggled to build on that since, I suppose. For Kerry, still without a win after five, a very, very slow start.
Yeah, that's right. Especially after all the fanfare that we've mentioned before. But they're sticking into games. They haven't been, you know, poleaxed in any game. So
no, they're two defeats against UCD and Athlone by the odd goal, and then three draws after that. I think they've scored in every game.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, kind of in a similar way to Longford Town, you know, they're not getting.
As you said, any other season, this we'd be saying, oh, this is a great little steady start for Kerry, loads to build on, but it's just the fanfare that surrounded them. They have failed to live up to the billing. Athlone beat Cove 2-0 on Friday. Cove would be scratching their head how they came away with nothing here. They missed a whole glut of chances, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, they did. I think that penalty was driven by it as well.
It was, yeah.
Just not...
just the boys on commentary nearly had a conniption.
They did, yeah. Well, it was out. Yeah, okay. Great win for Athlone. I think there were decent enough value for it. They took their chances when they came. There was a number of chances you mentioned for Cove, but they just couldn't get it into the back of the net. So it could be just, I think...
Okay. Athlone's first goal came from a corner. It was their first corner of the game after 52 minutes. So that goes to back up what I was saying. The Cove were the dominant team first half, and they just couldn't capitalise.
Couldn't just capitalise. And you're going to have those games. You know, you have plenty of chances and you can't just, you know, peg one into the back and that's just really frustrating. Chalk it up, I think.
Finn Harps 2, Treaty United 2. This was a rather manic game, this one up in Ballybuffet. A couple of absolute bangers from, I think the lad's name is Oyenuga. who's on loan from I probably butchered that pronunciation. I'll get it right by the time we're playing them for commentary. But yeah, he's on loan from Pats. I wasn't aware of this lad at all, to be honest. But he looks like he could be a bit of a talent that Treaty United have signed there.
Yeah, 100%. Looked really sharp. Took his goals well. But that's all the happy story really was for Treaty. Like, they've had a real struggling start to the season.
They're another team, though, that have been there or thereabouts in most of their games, haven't they? I mean, the Harps goals, Gavin McAteer scores an absolute rocket. Conor Torres with the stunning goal over everyone's head into the top corner. Now, they give away a very stupid penalty, Treaty, and Jack Brady made an incredible double save. I don't think people realised that. Definitely the lads on commentary didn't realise at the time that the rebound was actually saved. It looked like it was put wide, but when you watch it back, he got a fingertip on it and the ref did award a corner. But they easily could have ended up losing the game from being 2-0 up. But it was another game where they were competitive, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, of course. Like you mean Treaty?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course they were competitive, lad. They were 2-0 up in the game. Mm. My point is that they pegged it away. And, like, really tried hard to peg it away. You know, the penalty concession, as you mentioned, was stupid. Even the defending for the first goal back, it was McAteer that scored the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Pegged it into the top corner. Really nice finish. But, like, the defending was really poor for that. And then a really good finish for the equaliser. But, you know, you can't be going up to Ballybuffet, as hard of a place it is to go 2-0 up. And come out with a point. Like, it must be gut wrenching.
Just Ballybuffet, the place to go for the bangers. I can't remember who got it a couple of weeks ago, but we were talking about that beautiful goal they got. Was it against one of the most recent home games, anyway? And then a couple of absolute bangers in this game as well. So they're getting value for their money up in Finn Park.
Oh yeah, they are. And like every owner from a Harps persuasion would have been delighted with that result the other night, considering where they were. But yeah, like, it's still points dropped for Treaty, and it must have been a tough one going back down the road to Limerick.
Again, though, it plays into what I said last week about how I see this league playing out. The Cork's going to run away with it, and everyone else is just going to kill each other, essentially. But you're looking at, we've talked about Treaty there. They haven't won a game yet, but competitive in the vast majority of them. Longford, likewise. Kerry, likewise. Mm. Cove have had a slower start than you'd expect. Harps will probably have a slightly better start than you'd expect. Wexford are probably where you'd expect them to be. And then at Lone, obviously, the surprise package, Bray, UCD, where you'd expect them to be. But it's extremely, extremely competitive. Bray 2, UCD 1 is the other game we need to look ahead to before we hear about your trip to Charters Cross.
We're kind of mad one, really. If you look back at the highlights as well, the commentator was just saying how well
we're passing.
Working well on the ball, and then they immediately fuck it up. And Bray, you know, popped into an empty net.
Niall Holohan with the mistake.
Yeah. But I suppose, you know, you're going to be... Those are going to be things that can happen throughout a game.
It was Ben McCormick scored that goal, by the way. I think he signed after the Longford game, because I remember Shane Keegan bringing it up on LOI late night that he had heard a whisper or two that McCormick was going to sign. He went on loan to Wexford in the second half of last season and probably didn't have the level of impact I expected, but he's a player that's played plenty of Premier Division football. He should be a good addition to that Bray team.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think they've made a few signings of free agents, I think, after the window and stuff. So, doesn't really make a blame bit of difference. That result was a very important one. It went 1-1, I think, after that. And then...
Yeah, Smith with a nice little header after a cross from who's the lad that we like, the 7 that always plays well against Longford. McCullough, yeah.
Yeah, and then... really good play. I think it was really poor defending... the defender kind of gets tripped up by himself, and then it's knocked back into the center of the box and driven into the top corner or roof of the net, really. Great results. You know, real tricky game.
They're showing good grit, to be fair. Came back from a goal down against Athlone the week before. So they're maybe not playing over. Certainly have. It probably comes from last season, from that great run they have. They have that bit of belief that they can stay in games and eventually get on top. Look, tell us about your first ever trip to Turner's Cross, and you can give us the first kebab review of the season as well. You were very, very pleasantly surprised with what you got down there.
Yeah, I will say, we'll start with the kebab review because it is the first one of the season.
Git will be delighted with this.
Yeah.
Went to
Spice Route. I don't know what street it was on. Google is your friend. Not the best looking of operations now, I have to say.
Right, okay.
Right, no, not. It looks okay from outside. Walk inside. Yeah, it's like a dingy, it's just not great. Nice lads behind the perspex. I got from my traveling companion, I got just chips, which were fine. And then I asked for a mixed kebab tray, and I just got a tray, like a burger box, with just meat and sauce. So there's no chips in it. But I had donor chips, so I wasn't too badly off. But the meat was absolutely sensational. It was just unbelievable. It had like grilled chicken in it. It had the kofta. It had the donor strips. It had chicken with a bit of batter on it. You know, it was just every bite. You didn't know what was going to come up on your fork. But it was all lovely. I would say 4.5 out of 5. Really impressed.
Savage.
So, yeah, any traveling fan down to Cork City, please go to Spice Route. Very, very enjoyable.
Very good. Was your trip to the Cross as enjoyable?
Yeah, had a good time.
You're one of the famous long for two now.
I am. I don't know who your man was. I was there. He was when I arrived. I just went in and sat down. Now, there was other Longford fans there and Longford people there. They just sat somewhere else. But I kind of was doing the socials, so I kind of just wanted a bit of peace. And your man was over to the side. He was chatting a couple of stewards, so I didn't really pass much remarks on him. And when the game came on, he just sat. We were doing a bit of chatting to each other and roaring at each other and the ref this and the rest. But I thought on the match itself, Cork were dominant kind of in the first 10 to 15 minutes. Their finishing was absolute dog shit. My God. Really poor stuff from them. Like Shawnee Moore, I think, nearly put it out of the stadium from about 5 yards out, maybe. And I think, like, Longford obviously, you know, had a really decent game plan to nullify the danger of Cork City, and they executed it fairly well. And that's even shown, probably. Like, I don't think Cian Moore for Longford Town had to make a real save in the first half that I can remember. One of the lads texted me that the commentators were saying, like, Cork should be 3 or 4 up or something like that after the first half an hour. Yeah, but they have to shoot the ball, you know, to the goal. You know, they have to get some of the shit on target. The finishing was absolutely desperate. I don't know, there was some good chances and they did the ball in the back of the net, but I can't remember who it was for Cork that was about 4 miles offside. Shawnee McGuire, I don't know if he got credited the goal. Probably did. A couple of the deflections and a totally wrong foot of Cian Moore. You can see him like kind of trying to readjust and scramble across the goal as it bounced by him. And then Longford Town cropped up with their own goal. Really good work by Parrish, lazy defending by Cork. Pass it across the box and Stefan Ubezi is there to tap it in. What did you make of the penalty?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit harsh.
I know it's leathered at him, but I suppose the whole.
And he's very. Yeah, no, I understand that, and I think his arm is in, but it's like his forearm and hand.
Yeah, the whole silhouette thing comes into it, I suppose. Probably was a penalty by the letter of the law, as muddled as the law is these days when it comes to handballs. But what I will say is there was
Hold on, what were we going to say?
I was going to say there was clear encroachment on the penalty. Now, it wasn't the lad that tapped at home that was encroaching the rebound. For anyone that missed it, the penalty was saved and his core scored the rebound, but there was definitely clear encroachment there. So now there was probably defenders encroaching as well. They obviously weren't encroaching enough because they didn't get to the rebound, but there was at least a case for a retake there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Parashiv, after that goes, I think him and O'Brien, I think it was, out on the left, did really well and managed to Parashiv takes it into the box and it kind of pops up and another massive handball that wasn't given. You know, I think
in the box.
In the box, yeah.
Oh, didn't see that.
Yeah. That wasn't given. And it's, you know, speaking to some Longford Town players after the game, convinced it was a penalty is an understatement.
Well, that's 2 weeks in a row now. They should have had a penalty for handball and didn't get it, so.
Yeah, and even just on that, it's interesting that for the non penalty call against UCD, the ref couldn't see it, and then last Friday in Turner's Cross, the ref didn't see that handball himself. It was the linesman. So we are, you know, we have linesmen standing in pretty much the same position on one hand seeing a shot come off a hand, which is one thing, and then handling the ball a couple of times. And
the linesman gave that penalty in Turner's Cross because the ref didn't give it initially.
As far as I'm aware, he did, because I think if you look back, I think he kind of looks over and looks back and then points at the penalty spot. I thought the ref was like, I don't mind hammering refs, but oftentimes you say to me that I'm going too easy on them. I thought the ref was really poor on the night. Like for a game that like didn't really have too many challenges, simply because like Cork were so dominant in possession, you know, Longford kind of had to be really disciplined, and they were throughout the game and worked extremely hard. Putting their bodies on the line. Thought Colin Moore him on was exceptional for Longford Town. Disappointing that you know, ref give him a penalty for one hand, but I'm not saying, if you want to make the argument that the Bezier handball was a penalty, well, then the other one was certainly a penalty. You know, he makes his, you know, a silhouette larger, his arm is outside his body, or whatever other yarn you're making. One was a shot, and one of it popped up off Parashiv onto his arm.
Can I just ask you on Cork? Yeah. It sounds like you were impressed enough by their build up play, but their finishing was poor. Would that be a fair assessment?
Finishing was poor. I don't really see, like I would say, Longford Town are obviously in a different parish to Cork at the minute. So if Cork actually had to break down a team that were, like, I'm not sure, would they be, it's one thing like playing against a team that's a low block or whatever, defending all the time. But will they be able to do both things at the same time against a team that's a bit stronger than or, you know, more similar to them or better? I'm not really sure they'd be able to do that.
But I don't think they're going to come up against too many teams that are better than them this season. So, there you go. Look, it's kind of 2023 all over again. They're just doing what they have to do without really blowing anyone away. Look, that brings us to the Between the Stripes Predictions League. Let's just update the listeners on how things went last week. And again, a big shout out to Carol Kelly, who's keeping on top of this for us this season. So last week, I can't remember who was playing for the listeners last week. Apologies. Usually Carol would jot the name down here, but the listeners got five.
Oh, blaming the volunteer. Carol, you need to pick up your game.
That's what happens in the League of Ireland. The volunteers always get the blame. So the listeners got five correct results last week, not scorelines. So 5 points for the listeners last week. You got one correct score. That was the Bowes Galway game on Friday, and you got 4 correct results. And I got 4 correct results as well. So you obviously got 7 points last week. I got 4. Listeners got 5. So the league table reads as follows. The listeners are bottom for once. Makes a nice change. How do you like that, lads? 25 points to listeners. I'm second on 30 points. And you are top of the tree on 34. It could be your year.
would be nice at least get a bit closer to than the last few years.
This week we're joined by a regular listener of the podcast. He's been a big fan for many years, Dwayne Doyle, who is a Shelburne fan. And we're going to start with the First Division games, and we're going to start with Cove against Bray. Dwayne's gone for a 1-1 draw, and I wouldn't put anyone off that prediction at all, because again, this just feeds into my whole narrative about the First Division. This is a great example of a game where I think there's going to be very, very little between the two sides.
100%. Particularly like Cove will be a bit, I don't want to say miserable, or maybe a bit sore after, you know, their last few results. They haven't won since they actually bet Longford. Seems like nearly a month ago now. And they weren't even fantastic on that night either. Seemed to be a bit more limited maybe, or something like that.
Well, they're lacking that individual brilliance of a Barry Coffey. It's as simple as that. They're well structured, well organized ish, but just they don't have that little bit of panache anymore. Even someone like Dylan McLeay came in the latter half of last season. He's got that little bit of X factor about him as well, and he doesn't seem to be around at the minute. So yeah, they're just lacking those game changes in the final third. I feel we kind of saw that that they're lacking that maybe clinical edge in front of goal as well on Friday against Athlone. So I'll follow Wayne and go 1-1. Wouldn't be overly surprised if Cove do win the game, to be honest, but it'll be tight. I think
I'm gonna go 0-0.
Yeah, okay. Treaty United against Athlone Town.
Big one for Treaty. This is going to be a real tough test. I think at Lawn, I was really shaking off the shit from last year. Another good win on Friday. They seem to just ironed out the shit at the back to a major degree. There isn't the same number of mistakes or bullshit that we would have seen in recent years. I'm going to go for... do you think Treaty could get something out of this game?
I strangely do, to be honest. You're right. I suppose you're right about Athlone. They've kept two clean sheets in their first five games. I'd love to know. I can't remember how many clean sheets they kept last season, but there was probably no stage where they kept two and five. I do think they'll concede. I think Treaty look okay going forward. I mean, they've scored four goals in their last two. Some of the goals I think you touched on it a few weeks ago as well. Some of the goals they've conceded have just been unlucky, where it's like a bit of a scrap in the box and the ball just seems to fall for the opposition instead of falling for a Treaty defender. I think this might be the night where they finally get up and running. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Treaty, but I wouldn't be overly confident on my prediction there.
I'm going to go... I think you're right. And plus, like, the pressure is going to be coming on a little bit. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay, that's probably a good shout. And Dwayne going 2-1 to Athlone. Kerry against Finn Harps.
Surely Harps will be buzzing after rescuing a point there the other night.
Something tells me Harps don't have a good record down there, which is probably forgivable given the travel.
Is forgivable, but you know, at the same time, Kerry aren't making mincemeat of people that are having to travel a long way down to Kerry. Let me actually check there.
I'm just going to have a look here myself. Kerry in the home fixture. Harps won there last season, but they've won twice there in five, so it's definitely better than Longford record down there anyway. Kerry have only won one of the five home meetings, so Harps actually have the slightly better record, so maybe I was wrong there, but I don't see Kerry winning the game, to be honest.
No, I don't myself.
1-1 for me.
I think there will be goals. I'm going to go 2-1 Harps.
Okay, and Dwayne going 1-1 again there. If I didn't say it already, he's gone 2-1 Athlone against Treaty. UCD against Cork. Dwayne going for a 2-0 win to Cork City, and I'm going to follow him with that as well. I think it'll be a fairly routine win for them. Without being spectacular.
For Cork, in the bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't say that myself.
I think it's just a simple UCD give up chances. We saw in the Bray game the crazy goal they give away. Cork, I know they maybe weren't clinical against Longford from what you're saying, but generally, if you give chances to Seanie Maguire and Cole, they're going to take them. I'd imagine that's going to be the line of this one. Just efficient Cork City, 2-0.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Cork. I think it'll be tighter, and I could definitely see a draw here.
Okay. Longford Town against Wexford on Saturday night.
Huge game for the town, I think. You know, it's been after the 5 in a row ending to the season, seems like a bit of a long time ago.
Do you think, from what it sounds like, they really put a huge amount of effort in at Turner's on Friday? Are you concerned that that might leave them a little bit flat here against Wexford?
I don't. I think there's an understanding of what Kerry or what Cork are, and you know, to get themselves back into the game, and then it's a dubious enough penalty on one end and another one not given on the other end. You know, you can take a lot of heart to be like, we're as good as these, you know, in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can definitely nullify their attacking stuff. Like,
one thing I actually, and we've spoken about this before, and I must ask Wayne Groves about this when I'm chatting to him. I wonder how hard it is as a player and even from a coaching perspective to try and hit that switch, whereas one week you're going working all week in training, right boys, we need to be rock solid here defensively, we're not going to do a whole pile of work in terms of attacking here, maybe a little bit of transition work, but generally we're just going to work on being compact, being tight, keeping our shape, keeping our discipline. And then the week after you're at home and the onus is on you to be on the front foot a little bit more. I just wonder how difficult it is to switch from one game mode to another.
I think, you know, when you're coming into a team, like we'll say that finished in the second half of the table last year, just missed out on playoffs, you know, you're probably understanding that it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of those games. I think the one thing is that there probably won't be, as you said before, there's Cork and then there's nine other teams that are going to be fairly similar, maybe, throughout the course of the season. So, like, you're probably not going to be like, oh, now we have to dominate the play in the next game after, we'll say, handing a load of possession over to a team like Cork. I think Wayne Groves would have found, I was definitely pleased, I think, with the work rate and the commitment from the players from until the 90th minute. So I think he'd be looking at this game as definitely something that they can get 3 points on the board here. I'm going to go...
Of course, his best results as a manager have come against Wexford. It's the team he's beaten more than anyone else. So, go on, give us your prediction.
And of course, actually, down the first away win of the season last year was a 1-0 win down in
Ferry Carrick,
Emery Top Coup.
Yeah. And his first game in charge as interim manager was away to Wexford, 2-0 down, came back and got a draw. So he's got happy enough memories of this game.
That's right. Was I at that? Oh, no, I wasn't at that one. I remember that was on a Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Jordan Adeyemo with the equaliser in the end. But anyway, I'm going to say 2-0 to Longford Town.
I'm going to follow Wayne again and go for another 1-1 draw. We're about to use up our quota here. Right, into the Premier Division, Derry against Drogheda. This is interesting.
This is in the Brandywell.
If this is the usual Drogheda that turn up, Derry won't win this game.
No, but I don't think
so. We've discussed earlier about what's going on at Drogheda, whether they're feeling fully themselves or not. But this is a tough ask for Derry. Everything's tough for them at the minute. The big games that you would have expected there when they went to Tala, when they went to Richmond, you know, these are big games against your potential title rival. They might step it up. We might see the likes of a James McLean kind of step forward and take the responsibility on his shoulders, and they fell flat on their face in Tala. They were poor last night. Then they're playing the likes of Sligo in the opening game, steal a win. You know, they're struggling against everyone pretty much at the moment. Sure, against Waterford, the worst team in the division by far so far this season, they were 2-0 down.
Yeah.
At home. So nothing's easy work for Derry at the minute. I'd say Kevin is working them like dogs as we speak to try and rectify some of the issues from Friday night. And maybe we actually seen some of that last night with the clean sheet against Rovers. I just wonder, is there a Michael Duffy can step up? Bit of individual magic make the difference. I'll go for a very unconvincing 1-0 win to Derry. That's actually a terrible prediction because Derry's defence and defending's been terrible this season as well. Do you know what? I go for another 1-1 here. I just can't get on side with this Derry team right now.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Derry. Okay. I don't know why, particularly after seeing them last night, but yeah.
Just draw this form, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you know, Derry need a reaction here themselves, particularly, and then another one at home, because I think that aren't they actually, if you just bear with me a second, aren't they repaying for all their home games at the start of the season? I think they're going on a little run of away games now.
Might be no bad thing, because the Brandywell crowd is already booing early in the season. So I think that's the second or third time this season they've been booed off already.
Yeah, so Galway after this game.
Yeah, Galway away, Sligo.
Galway, Sligo.
Dundalk.
Shelburne.
Yeah, geez, they've got four away games in a row now coming up.
Yeah, until the last week of April. So that's
and then, it's a home to Rovers, away to Bowes.
Yeah. So like it's tough going for a while, and like you know, you want to write a nice little postcard there. We're going away for a month, Brandywell. We want to leave off with a win, you know. So yeah, I think an important one for them on Friday. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to them.
Okay, and Dwayne's going 2-0 to Derry, so he's thinking along the same lines as you, maybe. Waterford against St. Pat's. You'd think a Pat's win, wouldn't you?
You would. You would indeed. Do you give Waterford any hope here at all?
It's the League of Ireland, of course I do. Anyone can beat anyone, but good to see, I suppose, one of the positives last night, Padraig Ammon getting his season up and running. You heard me ask John Daly there earlier on, was he concerned about the form of Padraig Ammon? But I suppose that concern slightly alleviated now by his goal last night. Proper finish as well, absolutely hammered it into the net.
Yeah.
It's just defensively, they're so poor. They're so poor defensively. I'm going to go 2-1 Pats.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Pats.
Maybe another late winner for Pats. 1-0 Pats from Dwayne. Moving us on to the live game on Friday, Bohemians against Dundalk.
Yeah, good weekend. I think it's going to be over here. I think Bowes will just have too much quality for them.
Yeah, Durbin will be suspended for Dundalk as well.
Yeah, that'll definitely be a miss. I'm going to go 2-0 to Bowes.
2-0 to Bowes. Dwayne going exactly the same.
Yeah, particularly with their Bowes clean-sheetedness at the back. I think that will be maintained here.
I suppose they weren't overly convincing there against Galway the other day. Now that's maybe no surprise, because Galway, as we know, they're such a hard team to break down. The Dundalk have really acquitted themselves well since coming back up. I suppose set pieces continues to be a concern, although they've managed to get through the last couple of games without conceding one. Now Friday, actually, one of the few chances Waterford had in the game came very early on when they got a free header from a corner, and just whoever it was that got up highest couldn't generate any power, and it was easily saved by Conor Kearns. But that's probably still a concern, particularly going up against a Bowes team with Hickey, who scored from a corner the last day. So maybe something like that wins the game for Bowes, or maybe just Dawson Devoy, Tierney, these lads are on it. And maybe they win more comfortably. But I'll go 1-0 Bowes, but I definitely think Bowes win that. They would certainly be one of my bankers of the weekend. Rovers against Galway?
Yeah, tough game for Galway and Stour. I think Rovers will be disappointed with the nil-all, you know, following that up with a good away win on Friday against Sligo. I only see one way of traffic here, to be quite honest. I'm going to go 3-1 to Shamrock Rovers.
You're going 3-1 to Shamrock Rovers, okay.
Dylan Watts is going to score for Rovers.
Okay, we'll stick him in there for the bonus point. Dwayne thinks the same. Comfortable win for Rovers. He's going 3-0. Galway haven't really been blown away by anyone, to be honest. Very competitive in every game. Haven't been blown away by Rovers. I go 1-0 Rovers.
Fair enough.
And that brings us to the Saturday Premier Division game, Sligo Rovers against Shelburne. Dwayne going for a trademark 1-0 win to Shells.
Yeah, hard to really see much past it. What are you thinking here?
As I said, Sligo very good last night against Dundalk. Played okay in glimpses against Shamrock Rovers on Friday as well. But they haven't got anyone to put the ball in the net. Shells aren't much better off in that department either, to be honest.
But surely they'll have enough here.
I'm not so sure.
No?
1-1. I don't know who's going to score for either side, but 1-1 is what I'll go there.
1-0 Shells.
1-0 Shells. Okay, that's the predictions league. That brings us to the BTS charity bet, which is kindly sponsored by Bar One Betting. I'll go just first of all to say thanks to Julian Canny. We threw it out to the listeners to play last week because we've had a bit of a poor run of form, just like my Cheltenham. But Julian put up a 4-4 last weekend. It ended up winning and it returned over 50 quid for the kitty, 54.31. If we want to get down to the nuts and bolts, he went Cork, Bowes, Pats and Rovers last weekend and they all won. So thanks to Julian for boosting the funds for the charity bet. Again, we haven't decided what charity we're going to give this towards at the end of the season. So if anyone out there has any suggestions, then please do get in touch. I go first this week, Gary. I'm going to play it safe-ish to try and just build on what Julian did for us last week. I'm going to go for Bowes to beat Dundalk. As I said, I think that's my banker for the weekend. I'll go with Cork City to pick up another win in the first division. And I'm going both teams to score in the Waterford game. And a €10 stake on that threefold there, that treble returns, 51.84.
I'm going to go for a Bowes win.
Okay, I'm going to literally place this as you give it to me. So here we go.
Bowes.
Bowes.
Longford.
Come on, Gary. You know what's happened this season when you put Longford in there. You're supposed to have to win at some stage. You don't want to go draw no bet Longford or double chance Longford.
No.
Okay.
No. None of that highfalutin shite. Rovers and Shells.
Rovers and Shells. Okay, I think we're going to get a decent price out of this. Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne. And that will come up to, with a €5 ACCA boost as well. Thank you, Bar One Betting, to 14.481. So a €10 stake there will return 162.09. Are you happy for me to click place bet, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Job done. There we go. Thanks to Bar One Betting. That was the charity bet. Before we go, we have
a bit of live reporting here.
Right, go on.
Barnsley FC have tweeted that due to international call-ups, their fixture on the 28th of March has now been postponed.
He's back.
He is back. I know we're mad for a lad that has scored one goal in his entire Irish international career.
Vibes. But we need vibes.
Yes, we do need vibes.
Vibes is going to carry us all the way to Mexico.
Absolutely. I will see you there.
Right, let's get to the hotline. Let's see. Here we go. BTS hotline. I'm just going to click show most recent tweets so Twitter doesn't hide anything. It's on us. It has a level of doing that sometimes. Alan Maguire has actually just got in touch with us in the last 5 minutes. You're just in the nick of time. Alan, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir. Friday and Monday games killing the energy vibes? ?
No. There has a... Sorry, lads. This is professional football at the highest level in the country. Everybody's a full-time footballer.
No. One thing I will say about the games last night, now I know the games were generally crap, but again, I got up to Oriel last night and okay, it was about 500 less than there was there on the Friday. They got a good crowd in Friday for the Waterford games. 50 to 75 travelling fans, small enough. So about 2,800 there Friday night was a decent crowd. There's only 2,300 or so there last night. But there was
a 4,500 really... in Pats last night.
there was a really good buzz around Oriel last night. Now, I have to say, the lads that have taken over the bar, Mokara, the pub in the town, they've taken over the bar in Oriel. And the place is absolutely bouncing. Apparently, they got the deal. I was chatting to one of the lads from Mokara. I was in having a pizza there a couple of weekends ago. And he told me they managed to get the lad that was doing the DJ for Bose to do the DJ for them this season. And the place is absolutely hopping before and after the games. So there's a good vibe around the place. They're going for that kind of DJ Bose energy that Bose have going on up there in Daly Mount as well. But just a really good feel and energy around the place. And last night, I think, was a good night for a set of fixtures because most people are off today. I'm not. But yeah, again, Monday night, there was loads of people out having a few pints. Paddy's Day the next day. I think it was a good night for Monday night fixtures. Generally, like most people, not a fan of the Monday night games, but a live game of on the TV on the Monday, it was an absolute cracker. The other games let us down a little bit, but yeah, I thought it was a good. Like, ideally, you'd love to have games today. You'd love St. Patrick's Day to be it, but just you can't do it because of the policing situation. So there you go. Sam, you told me I was early for questioning him. That's John Daly after one game. After six, I want him fired from a cannon. Now, we don't endorse any harm coming to John Daly, but I think that is probably a synopsis of the feeling down at the RSC right now about their manager. Brian Doherty, another absolutely rudderless display from Derry. No attacking impetus whatsoever, so we've resorted to getting a 12th man on instead. Change at the helm needed ASAP before this new group of players is ruined. Rotten.
Yeah, I do feel, well, I don't feel much, but I can see the damage.
It's hard to disagree with too much of that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like I can see where the point is being made from. It's must be really frustrating to watch your side like that all the time. Maybe it's a good thing they won't be in the Brandywell for a little while.
Pat Walsh, the only direction Waterford are going under Daly is straight down to the First Division. An absolute spoofer of a manager. A change has to be made quickly before we're cut adrift at the bottom and have no hope of staying up.
Yeah. Who do you bring in? I know that's not the Waterford fans.
The English job. Lad will be back.
Some bloke, yeah.
Some lad from Fleetwood.
Lad knocking around, pegging down cones now for Fleetwood will be in the dugout. I don't really know where it goes. John Daly's under serious pressure to turn it around. And I think, you know, Friday is going to be a real line in the sand, to be honest. I don't think he'll get the international break if he doesn't get a positive result on Friday.
Stephen Clancy, Dundalk absolutely stole that game. Not in the game up until the penalty. All Sligo all game. Very poor decision from the penalty as well. On the flip side, this game truly shows how lacking we are up front. Traore and Kavanagh not up to it at all. I would fully agree with everything that was said there. Ross McNulty, clean sheets. He's a Bowes man. I actually replied to him saying I was actually going to back both teams to score, but looked at Bowes' record this season and thought better of it. Impressive stuff so far. JH, Derry, a vulnerable team and we're there for the taking tonight. McLean, absolutely irrelevant in midfield.
Completely irrelevant and a total non-entity throughout the game.
Stephen Macker, how Harvey can let Derry play with 12 players on the pitch. You've already told us about that. Kyle from Galway, scoring more than 2 goals in a game. Wow, but woeful defending throughout from both teams. Look, give us a good watch on the telly. And Derek Coleman, good result for Dundalk, especially with so many draws tonight. Conal, will Gary finally give Dundalk some credit after more than 12 months of hardly losing a game, only messing but seriously?
Hardly losing a game.
The last team to win in Oriel actually was Sligo Rovers when they beat Dundalk in the Cup last year.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I suppose they've played 4 games against Premier opposition. At home, really, isn't it? Sligo, Waterford.
Drogheda. That's it so far.
Yeah. Wow. 2 relegation fodder. A derby draw. Yeah, like look, it is fairly good. I suppose most of that is in the First Division. Don't really care about that anymore, I suppose. So, yeah.
So basically, no, Gary's not ready.
I couldn't give a shit, really.
Yeah. Brian, credit to Galway. They played some decent football. Perot and Hurley should get them enough goals to keep them up. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. Well, definitely Perot can, you know, I think he's a great signing.
Scored last night, so good for him to get up and running quickly, given that he wasn't able to go into the team straight away.
And had a delay, like he hadn't played football for a little while as well before that. So I think, good stuff getting him in and getting his name on the score sheet early on.
And of course, this man is always first into the hotline, but the reason his comments coming up last here, because I went for the most recent comments first, but Git, on a scale of 1 to 10, and we gave him a shout out earlier, of course, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy is Gary with a kebab and a Pico red card?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just forgot about that. And actually, it's interesting. Definitely the Virgin Media lads are listening to me blade on about Shamrock Rovers owning the league. Loads of red cards down through the years. He probably should have been long off by the time he got the red card. I don't know what it is. Like, it definitely needs to be looked at, that, you know, so many red cards that are due to be red cards not given to Shamrock Rovers. It's crazy.
Right, well, that's it. Will I ask ChatGPT here how far away Prague is?
No. I don't really care. Well, you asked for the minutes and everything.
Yeah.
No. Forget about that. Well, as I said at the start, we have one more pod before we travel. Tomorrow week is the big day. We're going to be meeting up in the airport, all smiley faces. And hopefully we'll be doing that on Friday when we come back safely.
Yeah, I've got a bit of travel to do before then. Next week's pod could be interesting. It might be a little bit of chat about Belgian League on it, heading over to Belgium to do a league game there this weekend. Barely have my feet back on Irish soil before it's off to Prague. So, and we'll squeeze a podcast in among all of that as well. So, busy week ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, see you Saturday.
See you Saturday, yep. Missed you last weekend.
Oh, on the town. lead us into a win in Prague on Saturday, please.
That was Series 10, Episode 7 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. A huge thanks to our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And thanks to Bar One Betting for sponsoring the charity bet. Until next week, from Kieran and Gary, we'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.